Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Bill Kristol here. Welcome to Bulwark on Sunday. Very pleased to be joined by Sarah Longwell, with whom you're all familiar. I'm at an undisclosed location, which is why the backdrop's different. Sarah's, you're in a regular location, though. So.
I am. Also undisclosed, though.
What's that?
Also undisclosed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's wise, probably. So we, 8 days ago on Saturday, we did a kind of an emergency video and podcast about the Epstein situation. You and I had been bullish on it. Bullish is the right word. That's not quite fair appropriate. You and I had thought it was a big deal from the first.
Yes.
We had some internal debates about this with our colleagues. Saturday it began. We actually did our conversation after Kash Patel's little attempt to stifle things and before Trump's long crazy Truth Social post. But we did have the instinct that things were blowing up, and they were, and they have since, obviously. And this was all before the journal piece. So you've been following this closely. Where do we stand?
I mean, since we first spoke, basically everything's happened. I mean, Trump has protested to such a degree and at such length in his Truth Social posts that thou gets a real, thou doth protest too much feeling from all of it. There's a lot of weird things that are coming out. And actually, I think I'd start by saying that when something like this happens, when you have sort of an anatomy of a scandal, how does it break down? The number one thing is, do people sort of take a piece and move on from something, or do they dig in and start looking further? And I think the evidence this weekend of finally we're starting to get independent reporting from the mainstream media, right? We've got the Wall Street Journal this weekend. We've got the New York Times has done now maybe like 5 stories over the last few days that are things like the timeline of their relationship between Trump and Epstein, the relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell. And I got to tell you, the reason that these things end up sticking is even me, I never went super deep on the Epstein stuff because when I read the story, the very first story, the one that Julie K. Brown did, and I watched her excellent talk with her last weekend, it's hard to read. Like, it's filled with stuff that's really gross. Epstein was clearly a disgusting person. They were constantly, going around, Ghislaine Maxwell, procuring women as young as 14. I'm sorry. And I shouldn't say women. They were girls, young girls, and taking them to Epstein's island or to his house. And then they would make the young girls give him massages and in various states of undress, him, them. And it was all, so I'm learning all this stuff that because I sort of read that and was like, this is disgusting, but I never really believed that Trump, I sort of felt like if Trump was really involved, if he had been on the island doing these things, I mean, we're talking about 2 presidential campaigns. Like the idea that this stuff wouldn't come out in some way seemed unlikely to me. And so the way that the MAGA folks got a hold of this story and were going super deep on it, like Bill Clinton was involved and they were going to expose this ring of Democrats. You know, the problem was is that the MAGA right has done so much sort of pedophilia-based conspiracy stuff, whether it's QAnon, whether it was the Comet ping pong, underground sex ring that led a shooter to show up there, right? There was a lot of sort of crazy, ridiculous stuff that sort of made you put this in the same bucket. And, but not the MAGA folks, right? They're the ones who pressed this. They're the ones who talked about it all the time. And when Epstein killed himself or was killed, it was the MAGA folks that were the ones saying Epstein didn't kill himself. They believed that the left, someone in, the Clintons probably, that they were the ones who wanted to have this guy killed. And somehow the Epstein thing blows up on the right without any of them ever looking hard or saying to themselves, boy, Donald Trump knew this guy for a really long time. There's lots of pictures of them together. There's lots of evidence of them flying on planes together. And I'll just say, to me, putting together this timeline, the story starts to make actually more sense. And I'd like to walk you through it, if you don't mind, because it will, I think a few things clicked for me that had not previously clicked for me. So one is, Trump and Epstein really knew each other over about 15 to 20 year time frame, when I think they were between kind of their early to mid 30s to about about 50. Epstein, and in fact, the Wall Street Journal's reporting is about a 50th birthday card, right? That's what Trump is, where he wrote this sort of very cryptic, weird, we share the same interest stuff. That was for Epstein's 50th birthday party. And so they're falling out. The two of them ceased to be friends in 2004. And all of the reporting around the end of their friendship is because they got in a competition over a house that they both wanted to buy, that they both bid on, that I guess Epstein ended up winning that and sort of purchasing some home. And that was the falling out. Although Trump also did sort of publicly then accuse him of being a creep of some kind. But it was Trump who introduced Epstein in the vein of, in 2016, when he was running against Hillary Clinton, he brought up Epstein really for the first time in relationship to Bill Clinton, right? And like that Bill Clinton was going to have problems because of this island. But if you look, and I really don't know about the Bill Clinton stuff. I do know Bill Clinton's denied ever going to the island. There's no evidence Trump ever went to the island. But what Trump did do is, in those first sort of 15 to 20 years, they partied all the time together. Like, that's where all this evidence is. The evidence is that these two guys were hanging out all the time, and there was the Dallas cheerleaders were there. They were constantly inviting now this is more like in the public stuff, it is more young women, sort of 19, 20, but like young, considering these guys are in their 40s. And late 30s, and eventually, you know, even older. But it's so what's clear to me is that Trump and Epstein were hanging out all the time and like were wingmen. And he flew on Epstein's jet 7 times, the private jet, back and forth to different places. And so they have a deep, like, Epstein says Trump's his best friend. Like, they're not acquaintances. They're not people who know each other a little bit. They're people who know each other quite a bit. Then they have this falling out, and the falling out is like, then you're really in island territory. And so what I think is most likely is that Trump never visited the island, was not doing that part of it, but may very well have been done all kinds of things that were still very gross, maybe with very young women, we don't know. But like, it seems like there has been not enough scrutiny on that particular part of his life. And the thing that's happening right now is almost mind-bogglingly, there is right now, for the first time, real scrutiny on that era of their relationship, which means that you can see why some people are like, this is all so long ago. I mean, Trump is almost 80 years old. And so, like, if you think about it, his falling out with Epstein is 25 years ago. Like, the falling out in 21 years ago, right? Okay, so it's been a long time, and he's not thinking to himself as he's running for president or whatever that the Epstein stuff is going to come back. But now that Epstein is dead, Ghislaine is in jail, it's all sex trafficking. Trump is probably looking back on the exploits of that 15 to 20 year period and going, there's a lot of stuff there if people start talking about it. And that's what the media needs to be looking at.
So that's really terrific. And I have a couple of thoughts, a couple I had already, and a couple you provoked, actually, just to really almost for footnotes to what you've been saying. A, falling out. That was around 04, 05. It looks like Trump says sort of 04, but it's not clear that it was 05, 06. 06 is when the serious investigation of Epstein begins. Maybe it begins in 05. I don't know. Maybe they have the sense it's coming. Maybe Trump's told by someone, this guy's risky. I feel like that the timing is convenient. If I were Donald Trump and I had a million things going on, including vaguely in the back of my mind political ambitions, the time to cut to cut relationship with Epstein would be around 05, 06. And he actually, it worked, if you think of it this way. I mean, what if Trump and Epstein were still, you know, cavorting together in 08 when Epstein's actually indicted by the Justice Department? So I think I kind of agree with you that it's interesting that on that timing, we'll learn more. Secondly, the MAGA obsession with pedophilia and Pizzagate and all this kind of crazy stuff is real. I would be more worried in the sense, if Epstein were similar, it was based only on that, as it were, if Epstein was a conspiracy theory to the others, well, I'd say you've got to be awfully careful here. There's a lot of just pure invention and craziness. Epstein was indicted by the Justice Department in 06, I guess, if I'm not mistaken. They had that very, very bad, disreputable plea bargain in 08. Epstein's busy pressuring everyone. 2 years, the most minimal sentence. He's investigating the FBI people who's investigating him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The case is okay. Then it's thought
he goes to jail, though. He goes to jail for 18 months.
No, he's on but not in jail. He's in
country club
detention or something. But he's convicted. Yeah. I mean, no, he plea bargains. I mean, so there's not. It's not like this. So the Justice Department of the United States and his own lawyer, Epstein himself, admits that there was something there. They don't admit to the whole scope of the thing. It's reopened not because of Pizzagate, and Epstein was always part of the QAnon Pizzagate stuff because it was a famous case of a sex trafficker not getting punished the way he should have. It was part of it. But the thing is reopened not because of them screaming. It's reopened because Julie Brown, who is not the Miami Herald reporter, who I had on a week ago, and you can all read her book and her own, what she's currently writing about it. She investigates really courageously and diligently as to what happened. Why didn't anyone care about the victims? Why didn't they interrogate all these people? This was a massive sex trafficking ring. It wasn't an offense that you've given this minor punishment for. And that's what leads to the Justice Department reopening the investigation, I guess, late
2019 is when he gets, goes down.
You can read the indictment. It's public and it's very compelling. And they obviously being, typical prosecutors, right? You pick the three instances that you have the best evidence, most airtight case for. They don't bother going through the other, thousands, honestly, but they do have a very good case on these. It's pretty. And anyway, so Julie writes the book. So Julie Brown is why we know about this, not MAGA. I think it's an important point to make. MAGA seizes on it. You might want to give them credit. I don't even object to that for kind of keeping it more alive by the files and for putting pressure certainly on the Justice Department and the FBI. That part is more her, more MAGA, though Julie agrees with a lot of that. There's also a complaint. And incidentally, the victims have filed lawsuits saying, why can't we get more information? This is not simply a MAGA-generated phenomenon. I guess that would be one point I would make, which I think is important. On the cryptic, just a second on that, the cryptic 2003 birthday card, 50th birthday card, that's not even worth getting. I have various theories about what you cannot read that. I mean, as a serious grown-up person, knowing Epstein's background and knowing Trump's background, leave it aside. Underage, but only 19-year-olds that he's bringing to casinos, and not think they are joking about about behavior that would be at best, unattractive and gross, but certainly feels like they might both have realized slid over the line. Doesn't mean Trump personally was involved. Doesn't mean it wasn't, incidentally. I was very annoyed about 10 days ago doing various other podcast interviews, not our own, not Bulwark stuff, but other things. Well, of course, no one's saying Trump's personally involved in this. It's like, I don't know. We don't know. Why not? Like 1,000 other people were involved. There are 1,000 girls who were sexually trafficked. Let's just make it up and say there were 500 customers, 300. I don't know. It's not like a lot of people were involved in this. And why do we assume Trump wasn't? But we don't know. So to be fair, we don't know. But that card, you read that with any kind of, set kinds of people they were and what they're. It's a wink and a nod. Very much for me, compelling evidence. Trump knew what was going on. He may have chosen to turn a blind eye to what Epstein was up to. Maybe in 2000, you were sort of suggesting in 2004 or 2005, the blind eye became too inconvenient and he decides to cut ties. Doesn't mean he's guilty of a crime. You don't, that's a murky thing. Are you obliged to report suspicions? Maybe not. But it's extremely, it's bad. And I do think that card is, there's no innocent, really, explanation of that.
Well, that's why he's saying it's not him. Like if he just wanted to say it doesn't mean what you think it means, he could say that. And this is where this whole story. Yeah,
that's such an important point. Just throw it because that's what the Billy Bush tape. I think he tried for like 12 hours to pretend it. Maybe he was doctored or something.
But he said it doesn't sound like me. He said it doesn't sound like me.
That was the original. And that's the Access Hollywood tape.
That's right. And then they showed it to him. Yeah. He denied it at first, saying it doesn't sound like me. It doesn't sound like something I would say. And then they showed it to him. And he said, well, that's me.
But then he retreats to locker room talk.
Right.
Which, you know, again, since there was no one exactly coming forward, well, there were people coming forward, but anyway, since it was a conversation between two other, him and a younger guy, whatever, he's boasting, maybe he's just boasting, he doesn't really do that. That's how he managed, it's so unbelievable, obviously, that he managed to skitter away from that, but that's how he did so. But this is very different. This is him to Epstein, right? This is not a third party. This is not Trump saying to it, I guess the equivalent, so it's not locker room talk. It's or co-conspirator talk would be the point, I think. And I think it is worth, and just on the card for a second, this gets to know that'll be the scandal. Zero chance the Journal publishes the piece. And I say this as someone who never anything at this level, but editor magazine for a while. I mean, zero chance they don't publish it without utter confidence in the authenticity and provenance of the card, which That's means right. it was given to them by, well, it means they've seen it. I don't even think a copy would quite do it unless maybe you could authenticate it, make sure it isn't a, you know, digitally altered copy, but you'd probably want to see the card. You might want to have it in your possession. You'd probably want to test certain things from it in terms of it's from 2003. It wasn't written in 2023 by some, you know, as a kind of a Dan Rather type, you know, the Bush forgery type thing, right? You know, they're careful. They're not idiots. They knew that Trump had drawn things sort of like that at around that time. That all came out on Twitter and so forth later, but I'm sure the Journal had done its own research on that.
Right. When you say I've never written a drawing in my life, and everybody's like, here's all the drawings you wrote.
They were confident in the authenticity and, as I say, provenance, which means they were dealing with someone they thought had it, would have had good reason to have. It's not like a fifth party. Someone shows up, hey, I got a friend of a friend of a friend, and he gave me this car. You know, that is zero chance of that. I mean, this is someone who would have had reason to have access to this. They trust as a legitimate person in that world of whatever it was, right? And people haven't thought enough about that, and that which means that person might have access. This gets to the anatomy of a scandal.
Right.
You know, wouldn't this person have access to other things when they went through all these files?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, this is the thing. When you dig into the story, you realize how many tentacles go off in different directions. So just take one, for example, that I didn't know that much about. I remembered reading it at the time early on because it's one of the young women. Her name is Virginia. I think it's pronounced Guffrey or Jeffrey. And so there is a picture of her with Prince Andrew, with his arm around her, next to Ghislaine Maxwell. This is the thing that made Prince Andrew, okay? What is the nephew of the King of England, step down from his public duties? Okay, so there was real fallout from this. This was covered extensively in England. That woman, the young woman, the girl at the time, Virginia Guffrey, killed herself not very long ago. Now, she did have an illness that was left her quite debilitated. I believe renal failure from a car accident. But it's, again, she was only 41 years old, and she had publicly talked about the fact that Ghislaine Maxwell had met her at Mar-a-Lago, had met this young girl and recruited her from there to become a masseuse, a private masseuse for Jeffrey Epstein when she was only, 15 years old. And so meets her at Mar-a-Lago. Is that a place? And then this woman goes on to publicly out. Now, here's the thing, though, and this is where it's interesting so far, you don't have a lot of sort of smoking gun testimony around Trump. Although when I was reading the stories, I was a little bit surprised. And Trump has so many sexual assault allegations against him that it's hard to keep them separate. And it feels like we litigated this all once and we sort of never came back to it, except for the E. Jean Carroll case in which he was convicted. But some of these women tell similar stories in these cases where they met Donald Trump in the company of Jeffrey Epstein, and that Trump assaulted them, sexually assaulted. Like, there are, like, it is wild that this stuff just exists out there, and we as a country or as a media ecosystem have not followed every path. So just take one of Epstein's most high-profile public victims, now dead by suicide, and was recruited from Mar-a-Lago. That feels like a link worth pursuing. And so the idea of this birthday card, the birthday card thing, that was a compilation that was Jeffrey Epstein's. So something that was in Epstein's presence, which means, do you know how much stuff there is likely out there? There is a reason that Donald Trump isn't saying, hey, here's an alternate explanation. I mean, he kind of is now with the grand jury testimony, which he knows has nothing to do with him. So he thinks we'll keep him out of it. The fact that he has been, Trump has done more of this to himself than anybody else in his, this is boring, why are you still talking about this? He doesn't want them to get into any of the particulars of it because he knows there's lots of connective tissue, even if it's not that you find out Donald Trump was doing exactly what Epstein was doing on the island. He knows there's a lot of smoke in that space, a lot of things that can come out. And finally, the media is pursuing it in such a way that new details can come to light and can be significant about their relationship. And that, even though, so here's the thing that's being sort of debated in our circles right now, which is, well, you know, they are rallying, MAGA is rallying to Trump's defense in the face of this horrible attack by the Wall Street Journal. And many of our favorite anti pundits like Molly Hemingway are out, I am canceling my subscription. You'd think Rupert Murdoch wasn't personally involved with this decision, that he wasn't shown what they had before he went forward. Like, and there's a reason they chose the Wall Street Journal and not the New York Times or some other thing. Like, and the MAGA folks, right? Yes, Trump is trying to shut it down with all the influencers. He's calling them personally, telling them to let it go, telling them to knock it off, telling them, and this is a whole side story that I would love to talk about at some point about the media ecosystem. He's also saying, I made you. Your whole, you know, career, Benny Johnson, Charlie Kirk, Megyn Kelly, you owe it to me. So shut up and stop pursuing this. Now they can try that. And I think that it will work with some of them. And it's pathetic and it should destroy their credibility. But the base, like the real wandering base, the people who want to know this, maybe let's not even call them Trump's base. Let's just call them the people who are Epstein focused Trump supporters. They've got to grapple with all this new information. And I doubt they're going to let it go.
I think that's very important. So several important points there. I mean, one, I agree. Some in our world are into the, I think, not necessarily correct. The journal thing helps Trump. It makes it Trump versus the media. It makes it a classic fight where you have to rally to Trump. There'll be some of that. And there you've seen some of that, but I totally agree. Even if some paid off media figure, if media figures, influencers can be either pressured, influenced, bribed or whatever, just no, I'm okay, I'm on board, I'm gonna ruin your career if you don't get on board. I mean, God knows what's being said privately by Trump people to these people. Doesn't mean that everyone who reads Charlie, who thinks he's following Charlie Kirk, who's a member of TPUSA, is necessarily reassured. And it's not like everyone keeps talking about the base. There are a lot of Trump supporters, not really part of the base, not really into QAnon stuff. They managed to put out of their head the Access Hollywood tape. They put out of that some of these other things they just don't want to think about, some of these other grown women, they should have known what they were doing. You can imagine all the rationalization, right, in kind of business worlds, you know what I mean? Coldplay CEOs who take their HR people to concerts, you know, can rationalize the Trump behavior. This is a little different. It's more than a little different. this is a different. This one of the things I got, there's a post piece the other day. It was, I don't want any more attack about it. It was an earnest account of what was happening, kind of on the Hill more, as I recall. And then it deviated. It got into the Trump thing's causing problems for Speaker Johnson on the Hill, you know, and the fact that Trump's involved in the accounts of Epstein's sexual escapades. I thought, is there not an editor at the Post or the, you know, honestly, the reporter herself, I think it was a woman herself who, like, that is not, they were massive sexual crimes. And I think it's, again, to 100% of the Trump, that's the bridge too far. No, to 10, 15, 20% think suddenly, I don't know, I was willing to rationalize it until now, but this is a problem. So I think people are underestimating, my view is, people think it's a story of the MAGA base. MAGA base turned against Trump, and this is what you and I talked about a week ago. So it is an important story. It fractures his base. That's a very bad thing in politics. That could have real effects. But there's also just the reality, the world. The reality is being presented in a pretty stark way now that he is successful in muddying the waters about earlier. Maybe he will be this time. Maybe not. I would say on that, two quick points. On the scandal side, you and I have seen a bunch of scandals. I've seen more because I'm older in Washington. There are always moments where it looks like, okay, I guess that's the scandal. I think they'll survive. That was true in Watergate. That was true in Iran-Contra. That was true in Clinton's thing. People, in retrospect, when you hear about it 10, 20 years later, you read a quick account in a history book, it's all like one-dimensional, right? This thing began and it was, you know, that's not how it is. And so, of course, they're going to be like moments where Trump seems to have a bit of an advantage. You know, Trump's rallying. He's got six agents to defend him. The Hill Republicans aren't deserting him. But I do feel like what you said about this scandal has too much in it, too much truth in it. I mean, let's just be honest. Why did Watergate, Iran-Contra, Monica Lewinsky, ultimately, why couldn't they put them to bed? Which, you know, that sort of matters. Some of the others were more nebulous. They were kind of iffy. Did Reagan mess around in the 80 election with Iran to her party? You know, there's a lot of like third hand stuff. These are very hard to put to bed. The one thing that now that this doesn't have that those scandals had, and I'm curious what you think, I mean, is they, and I remember some of them as I was, you know, fairly, thank God, not too close to them, but I had friends who were dragged in and stuff. They had prosecutors, in each case, really a special prosecutor or special counsel, going after the scandal. So there were two forces. There was the defense against the scandal, which often included the White House, to the Justice Department at times. That's a kind of Watergate thing. But there were people with actual law enforcement ability and subpoena ability and ability to compel someone and go to the courts on the other side. We do not have that. We have, this will be an interesting test. We have Trump, his Justice Department, his FBI, his White House, his media ecosystem, all on one side. And that's why I get a little worried. I mean, the mainstream media can do a fair amount, but you need to, I mean, as this journal piece, this, I mean, with all due respect to the journal, it's a very fine investigative reporter who was the main reporter on the piece. They didn't really dig this up. I mean, I'm just going to say, did they find this somewhere? They were trusted enough by someone who wanted to give them this document, which is not nothing. Believe me, that's important. And they handled it, I'm sure, extremely professionally, and they made sure of its authenticity and so forth. But I'm worried that there's no, and the Democrats don't control Congress. I mean, there's not a big institutional force on the side of the truth. There's the truth, and there's a lot of people looking for the truth, and maybe that will be enough, though.
Well, you can feel free to tell me I'm crazy on this particular one. But I do think that Democrats should say, going into 2026, that they will make sure that the Justice Department is being straight with the American people, and that they're going to hold Pam Bondi to account, and that they are going to make sure that this administration stops covering things up. And I do think that the Democrats can get so myopic about, like, you got to be able to run a two-track situation. You got to run on kitchen table issues. You got to help people understand you're going to make things cheaper. But also the ability for people to lock in to a story that it's not just about the revelations in the story. It's about what it reminds you of about the person at the center of the story. I have seen more clips of the Access Hollywood tape in the last week than I've seen in 6 years, right? Like it doesn't, people sort of feel like, oh, the Trump being a gross you know, guy who like probably was way over, you know, what did Megyn Kelly say? Too handsy, you know, that kind of stuff. And like, you know, then they discredit E. Jean Carroll, or they discredit this person or that person in some way. So people don't take it that seriously. Or a lot of this stuff was a very long time ago. But when you dig in and you start looking at it and you're like, look at this scumbag. Like, this is a guy, this isn't a story about infidelity. It's not it's all the things, right? It's not, he cheated on all his wives. He was out. He was married during all of these things. He was out, you know, sleeping with all these people. He paid a porn star, right? He paid somebody who was in adult films. And that was like right after his wife had a baby. Like there was, you know, and that stuff's all known. And I think that this is what's interesting to me is societally, I think we've hit a point where, and this is where I think Trump got off. I was reading some of the old stories and they all refer to both him and Epstein as playboys, right? There was a genre of Page Six stuff where this stuff was like, not celebrated exactly, but certainly it was entertainment for people, these people's social lives. And the idea of them as playboys was a way to say like, they break all the boundaries and norms around sort of sexual morality. Now, you get to Epstein and you get a criminal child pedophilia, you know, child trafficking ring. Okay. And like the line between we have a bunch of 18 and 19 year old girls who are cheerleaders and aspirational movie people and socialites, and they're all at these parties and we're all, and I don't know, maybe Trump didn't do drugs and drink, but like most people are doing drugs and drinking and all kinds of lascivious things are happening. And it's being covered by the newspapers with fun pictures and we're all in them. Like you go sort of then one layer down. Like it's funny because that part's celebrated. And the manosphere always likes this about Trump. Trump has sex with beautiful women. I always said, I really hated that the Stormy Daniels lawsuit was the one that got brought and the rest of them, you know, didn't move, because the one thing Stormy did, people knew about it. People were not mad at Trump having sex with, you know, Stormy Daniels or porn stars or whatever. That was just like baked into who he was. And also it made them think of him as somebody, because he's a very old man, as somebody with like sexual vigor in a way. Like he still was old enough to have like these, or still was like young enough to just have sex scandals from recent memory. I think though, the layer deeper though, the one where it's a child pedophilia sex trafficking ring, like that is the worst stuff you can do. And the line's not so great between the life Donald Trump was living in that. Now legally it's a whole different, and I think it is the difference between what could destroy him now versus what everybody thinks is baked in. And so pursuing it and figuring out how Trump's relationship worked with this guy, what his justice part, what Acosta may have done. Acosta, this is one of the things, like people forget that Alex Acosta, who is his Secretary of Labor, resigned from that job because it came out that he had given this sweetheart deal to Epstein. And even weirder, despite the fact that Trump does not seem to know when he was president, he was president when Epstein killed himself. His people were around when Epstein killed himself in terms of the justice system. So like there's so many different avenues in which, even if what happened was Trump just knew this guy really, really well, they got into all kinds of things, some of which maybe Trump looking back is like, boy, I don't want that out there. Wouldn't want anybody to know that. And so he started engaging in certain kinds of cover-ups or pushing people to do this or that. And like, those are the things he fears now, that he wants the conversation stopped. We don't know what it is, but people should zealously figure this out. They should zealously report out what was going on.
And dig in to find out more. So I just modify, I think it's excellent. And so I think one of your point, really, the key point here is that this was really criminal. In a way that the other stuff was, I mean, the Stormy Daniels charge was that he didn't report some stuff in 2016. There was a payoff to shut her up, but that was, he was a private citizen. He was running for president too, but he paid her off. It wasn't an election kind of crime. I mean, that's wildly different from what we're talking about here. That was consumably consensual. I mean, again, we're talking about child rape, and I do feel like we need to get to that. And maybe he didn't participate in it. Maybe he did. We need, but we don't know. And that card is pretty it was, as you say, close to him and so forth. So very close to this really horrible, massive criminal conspiracy, which incidentally was covered up for years, and elites didn't want to go after other elites. And that's also part of the story that I don't think people who are serious about this need to shy away from. This is not a, we don't have to say, why didn't the Biden administration take a look at this in 20, after they indicted and convicted Maxwell, good for them. But there was a lot of evidence floating around that maybe other people might've done things that the statute of limitations went out from. I don't know that there's a statute actually for child sex crimes. So anyway, and there were other people involved. This is a massive conspiracy. The J.P. Madoff had seven co-conspirators who were convicted of things or pled guilty, and then many others listed. I mean, these conspiracies don't have, Maxwell and Epstein didn't arrange everything like personally, right? I mean, so other people knew what was going on at that house. Other people made it possible. Other people arranged for transportation. Other, and not all of them were guilty. They didn't quite know what was happening. The pilot of the plane didn't, can't be held responsible, I suppose, for the knowing that he was transporting 16-year-old girls to, he just was, hey, he's my corporate client, Mr. Maxwell, Mr. Epstein, you know. But still, there are people in the middle and upper management level, let's just call it that. And then there are the people who raped these girls, and none of them has none has been indicted. Some of their names have come out. So that there's that side of it. Let's call it the criminal side. The other side is the cover up. And here's, I think this is an important point. I think Trump covered up a ton of things when he was a private citizen. He routinely paid people off and all this. This is the Justice Department of the United States, which is engaged in the cover up, or can be said to be covering it up until they release the documents. And I talked with a couple of lawyers this weekend. This is the part that kind of intrigued me. Everyone's saying, well, of course, very difficult to release these. I sort of wanted to this little, these documents, redactions, this, that, innocent people. So it turns out there are, guidelines, shouldn't release the victims' names, there and these guidelines about not, you know, releasing everything up in FBI investigations. Obviously, there's people who get dragged in. On the other hand, that's not a big leap. A lot of that is norms and customs, not even norms, just kind of customs. And most people don't want to know anyway. I mean, most people don't want to know what's in the files, but there hasn't been this massive cover-up involving now being directed by the President of the United States. And also, could we dispense with the fiction, as Marco used to like to say? Bondi and Patel just decided to do this on their own. I mean, they were talking to Trump. So Trump wanted it covered up. I think it's important, therefore, to pursue both the crime side of it, which you've been focusing, and the cover-up side of it. And I've talked to a couple of lawyers. The demand to release the files is less simple-minded than people think, in the sense that it is legitimate. You know, if I'm mentioned in these files, third party says you heard from a fifth party that this editor of the Weekly Standard was never there, obviously. You know, was it fine, release it. It's not true. And I'll just say, of course, it's not true. There's no evidence. It's some party with gossip. They confuse the names. Anyway, I'm not saying literally release every name and all this, but the idea that they can't release a ton of information legally is false. They can release a lot. I've talked to enough lawyers, and these are lawyers who normally are on the other, very reticent about being careful, you know, civil liberties. I mean, and they're not saying it because of Trump, honestly. And Trump, you know, they can release a lot of stuff that's not about Trump, obviously. They should, in fact. I think it's a mistake to, it was incidentally, like it was Bondi who ordered the Justice Department lawyers to go through looking for Trump, right, to sort of flag each mention of Trump. I think our position should be, and really is, release the files. Not release every mention of Trump in the files. Release the files. And we'll make our own mind up about whether Trump was a marginal character, close friend of Epstein who didn't quite get involved in the most criminal stuff, someone who should have known, someone who did know, right? I mean, I think the cover-up side of it has punch. So I was thinking about the other issues. There's no Access Hollywood. There's no government cover-up, right? I mean, even the Russia, you know, the legitimate campaign stuff was during the campaign. I mean, this is the Justice Department of the United States, Bondi having said, we're doing it all, we're doing it all. Patel having said, we're doing it all, we're going to release it all. Now at Trump's order, not releasing stuff. I feel like that's the Watergate side of it, and the Iran, to some degree, the Iran-Contra side of it. And that's very, that goes right to, and Trump is ordering Bondi and Patel to do it. So it goes right to Trump.
Yeah, and so I just keep asking myself, why would Donald Trump, rather than, because I mean, the amount of misdirection it feels like they could engage in, right, to send people down different rabbit holes or like release some stuff. But then I'm like, that's what they tried to do with the influencers with the first things. The influencers called BS because they're like, we already know this, because people do go really deep on this and they know a lot about it. And so they're like, this was all publicly available already. This is not you releasing what we need. And then she, of course, was like, yes, yes, this is just phase one. There'll be a phase two. And that has stopped. And Trump is not saying, yeah, we're going to give you some things. I mean, they might have to do that now that they're getting bullied into it. But like, you can imagine right now what they are doing is in a frenzied way, trying to figure out how to backtrack from nothing to see here to, okay, we're going to give you some stuff. What can we give them that doesn't send people down more rabbit holes about Trump?
That's the grand jury. That's the fake grand jury offer, which is literally offering, we don't quite know what's in it, but it's testimony from Maxwell's trial about particular cases they indicted her on. And they would, most of that testimony, to understand how grand juries work, would be restricted to those cases. They don't, the grand jury doesn't need to know about the 1,000 girls, they wouldn't, so that wouldn't be there. So that's a total fake. And I do think people have called, I think the media's been pretty good at calling that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and this is where, to your point earlier about, and this drives me crazy about both sort of pundits and Democrats, is everybody's sitting around being like, but is this a distraction? And should we be talking about, and like, let's debate the particulars of all this stuff. No, go find the truth. Americans care about this. And Donald Trump clearly doesn't want to talk about this in a way that is spectacularly weird. It's just so strange how he is behaving, to the point where he's throwing temper tantrums, threatening that his own supporters, he won't support them anymore back. Like, he's freaked out about something, and the media, and I was glad to see, like, Dick Durbin, put out a statement, and he's been basically pressing on the fact that here's a bunch of statements you guys made, including while you were in office, Attorney General Pam Bondi, that you now say aren't true and there's nothing there. And I'd like you to square this circle for me. That is good. Like, press on those things. And here's part of, to me, what is crazy is that Pam Bondi could just do this. I mean, I did comms for a million years. If what happened was they lied to everybody to gin them up, okay, on the Epstein stuff. So Cash was lying, Bongino was lying, J.D. Vance was lying. They all were out there saying, this thing stinks to high heaven. She could come out and say, in a way that, like, hold a press conference and say, like, I'm going to release this stuff. Here's the thing, guys. We thought there was more to this, and it's just not there. Like, there's no smoking gun here. There's no Bill Clinton. And we thought there probably would be the way that this, but, like, it's not there. And, like, take their medicine on that. But they're, like, not doing that.
Well, that's what they tried, but without releasing anything. Yeah, so that was like, well, that was nice of you to say now. I mean, they didn't really take their medicine and didn't really apologize. They just sort of said, oh, we've done the review. There's nothing there. And that was the Patel.
Yeah.
That was the thing we reacted to eight days ago. And it's what the Bondi Patel statement from, I guess, 2 weeks ago now says. But there was no evidence. So you can't do that. You can try. Well, we were wrong. Sorry we misled you. They don't even say sorry, of course, right?
They can be like, when we got the documents, here's what I saw. And there's so little information they're putting out because they don't want any more questions.
They don't want to open that door.
That's right.
No, it's really, I think the combination of the horribleness of the crime and the completeness of the and inexplicability of the cover-up, unless it's Trump doesn't want stuff coming out. No, that combination could be devastating. As you say, we may not learn that much if the Justice Department and FBI just stonewall. There's a limit to what the media can do perhaps over the next 15, 18 months. But even so, running on the fact that we've had this be the most massive cover-up in U.S. history for all, by the Justice Department and the FBI. And it's also, those things aren't so easy to pull off. There are a lot of people who have worked there, feel that the truth should come out, I suspect. Anyway, that's what we don't know. But the dynamics of scandals are dynamic usually. They don't just freeze. It's like, okay, we got one document. Nothing else is going to happen. So they need to use the word cover up about 100 times a day. Of course, that would distract people from the true kitchen table issues of inflation being at 2.6% instead of 2.4% this month.
Say, we don't think Epstein killed himself and inflation is way too high. I don't care.
It's driving me crazy. But it's so ludicrous. People literally are sitting at the kitchen table talking about this. You know what I mean? And it's like, we only can talk about kitchen table issues. I don't know. What do they think? You know, what are Americans talking about?
Look, here's the thing. I grant, this is what I get for doing all the focus groups. That the inflation, it matters a great deal to people.
No, I don't mean to.
Like when you're talking to voters and you're like, how do you think things are going in the country? They don't say like bad because of Epstein. They say bad because of inflation. And that's fine, but they feel inflation. That is like a direct personal consequence that they understand. And you should talk to them about it. And I especially think you should campaign on it. But I also think you should get to the bottom. This is about everything about Trump. This is about and this is just one other piece of this that makes it distinct from every other thing, from Russia, from the impeachments. This was not put forward by people who don't like Donald Trump. It was put forward by people who love Donald Trump, who work for Donald Trump. Okay, they're the ones who made this the big issue. And so if you're going to live by Epstein, you're going to go down by Epstein. Like, that just is what's happening here. I think that because it wasn't an issue that generated, like that organically started with maybe Democrats, they think that it's not like they just have to be bystanders about this. And that is not correct.
It's the opposite. Let you go. It's the opposite of correct. The strongest scandal, I'm looking now at the history of these scandals, they don't start with the opposition party. The opposition party starts something in a way that already takes a little bit of the edge off it, right? They start with people inside Butterfield and John Dean in 1973 on Watergate. Iran became important in the Middle East. It wasn't the Democrats who found out about it. And then the people investigated. The Democrats don't matter that much in a funny way. They need, but except they are members of Congress. They have a right and an obligation to say this is a disgraceful cover-up. And yes, we need to see the evidence. That's all they need to say over and over and over and over again. And hopefully they will.
Hopefully they will. Let's go, guys. Come on.
good words then on Sarah. Thanks for joining me. We'll work on Sunday. Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks, Bill. See you guys.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.